We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The McNeil and Parkin Show.
Today's our feel good fast Friday.
Afternoons on the Score.
You told me to my face you weren't a cop, man. I feel manipulated. I thought we were going to hang out.
We are hanging out, Badger. You like Badger or Brandon?
I like people who don't, like, abuse the Constitution.
Badger, listen. Hey, I'm trying to help you here, man. Now, if you just tell me your supplier is, I think this can end very well for you.
What are you doing, detective? What are you doing talking to my client without me present? You sneaky Pete. What'd you say to Babyface, huh? Didn't you say anything stupid? By anything stupid, I mean anything at all.
I
look at you, mouth open, vocal cords of Twitter. We'll talk about it later. Right now, you out. 10 minutes ago. Go on. There are laws, detective. Have your kindergarten teacher read them to you, right? Go grab a juice box. Have a nap. Go on.
You're going to get me off, right?
What do I look like, your high school girlfriend?
That's a joke, Brandon. Lighten up.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
Welcome back in. McNeil and Parkin's on the Score, where this hour is brought to you by the Illinois Secretary of State's office. Visit www.realid.ilsos.gov. That, of course, from Breaking Bad. Badger, one of the comedic relief parts of the show.
Hey, Matt, how's it going?
What's up, Matt Jones? Thanks for coming in, man. We appreciate this.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And Chris Tannehill.
Yeah, thanks for having me also.
Yeah, I
on
know.
This side of the, side of the glass.
And Tanny's just making changes to the studio. You're moving out chairs.
Well,
you're rearranging the studio.
It comes with sitting in this position. You want to change everything.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll get rid of you soon enough.
I'm sure it'll happen, but... So you're a big Bears fan, and you got a football movie out.
Yes, sadly, I am a Bears fan, and but happily, I have a football movie out.
Yeah. All right, so the movie is Turkey Bowl.
Yeah.
There's a limited theatrical release, but you'll be able to get it on demand November 15th. It'll be at Pickwick Theater on the 15th. But you're from California, so how'd you become a Bears fan?
My stepdad, who raised me, grew up next to where the Cubs used to have spring training in L.A. So he was a hardcore Ernie Banks Cubs fan. And I was raised a Cubs fan, and then we didn't have football in L.A. for like 25 years. So
right.
You had to, like, everyone in L.A. was some weird team. You'd meet somebody like, I'm a Tennessee Titans fan. You're like, it's so weird. So I picked the Bears at a young age, and just sadly been a Bears fan for too long.
And you follow the team?
I mean, yeah.
They make it hard.
Yeah, they make it real hard to keep caring. Yeah.
So who are your favorite players growing up?
Players growing up, I love Refrigerator Perry just because I was like a big weird guy. My all-time favorite Bear would have to be Patrick Manley, definitely.
No.
Come on. Yeah, Patrick Manley.
He's our favorite Bear of all time also.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, Patrick Manley's on our pregame show. He's on the station like 7 times a week.
I love Patrick Manley.
No, you don't.
I swear to God. I even was
like... He's doing that improv thing again.
Yeah.
Me and my friend still text pictures of his website where you can... You can learn to be a long snapper. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We'll get you in touch with Pat Manley.
I want a Pat Manley jersey. It's hard to find one.
Well,
I have to get one
too.
Custom made.
He's probably listening right now. We can have a Pat Manley jersey for you by the end of the segment.
I don't know. He was like him and Robbie Gould, like those guys. They were there for forever. Like, I love those guys.
Yeah. We make fun of Pat because they just, you know, it's the 100th season of the NFL and the 100th season of the Bears. And so there were all these top 100 Bears lists that came out that all the different publications made.
Yeah.
He was the 100th greatest Bear on all of the lists.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
It's just exactly
exactly where he belongs. Yeah, that's perfect.
So, Turkey Bowl.
Yeah.
Is it exactly what it sounds like, the Thanksgiving game?
It is. It's a Thanksgiving game. It's about these guys who are in high school on a high school football team. The game gets snowed out, so they never finish the game, and then 20 years later, they try to come together and finish this famous football game. You know, it's about guys who can't let anything go and they're still living their glory days in their head. And yeah, I fake the main guy in the movie is Ryan Hansen, and we're trying to get him to come home for this game, and I'm play his best friend, so I fake my death to get him to come home.
It's elaborate for a Thanksgiving game.
Oh yeah, it's a comedy. but it's so fun and so stupid, and it's just a comedy. It's nothing like. There's no heavy thinking involved. Like, I don't know. I just really miss studio comedies. Like, just going to laugh. It's like Step Brothers stupid. It's fantastic.
Now, we had Jeremy Roenick in here yesterday. I'll pick that name up in a second. But he talked about how Vince Vaughn named his character Jeremy in Swingers after Jeremy Roenick. And your character's name is Mitchell in Turkey Bowl. You didn't name that after Mitch Trubisky,
absolutely
did you?
Absolutely not. Okay. No.
Just had to get that out of the way.
Yeah. I didn't name him, but if I would have, I would have not named him Mitch.
I didn't think we were going to go there. I thought I was going to just, oh my God, I was about to say badger you, which
Okay.
God, is that terrible. But Patrick Manley just called in, and Pat Manley wants to talk to Matt Jones, yes. a.k.a. Badger for Breaking Bad.
Oh, I have
number 65. What's up, man? You're on with Matt Jones of Breaking Bad fan.
Well, this is a weird phone call, man. Good to talk to you, Matt.
Yeah, good to talk to you. I'm fangirling right now.
Well, I'm doing the same thing because I just watched El Camino about, I guess it was a week ago.
Ah, it's
and that
so
was really
weird.
Good and loved Breaking Bad.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That is so weird that you know who I am. I was at a game.
I'm doing it the other way around. It's weird you know who the heck I am.
I was at a game on the home sideline, and I took a selfie. I'd have to look through my phone of you from the back and me in the foreground at a Bears game. Yeah, really.
All right, this is weird. We got to go out and have a beer.
Absolutely.
That's our favorite side of Patrick.
So you took a picture with your face and Manly just
standing
over his
far
ass.
In the distance. Yeah.
Wow, you are really fangirling. Do long snappers have many groupies, Pat, or is this a first?
I think this is a first.
Oh,
and it's not a bad one to have either.
No, it's great. It's great. Because I consider myself in the acting world like a journeyman. You know what I mean? You don't get the glory, but you try to just get a job. And you were a Bears journeyman. I always respected that.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate it very much.
All right. Well,
are you from Chicago originally?
No, I'm from LA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Then how did you become a Bears fan?
I just talked about it.
I already covered that, Pat.
Thanks for listening.
I'll go back to the radio.com and hit rewind.
Oh, there you go. Attaboy.
Perfect. Well, so, Pat, do you have a Breaking Bad question for Matt, and then he can ask you a long snapping question, and then we'll let you go here?
I really don't. I truly enjoyed the heck out of that show. The whole thing is just awesome. It's a great it's just an awesome show. It's one of the top three that I've watched ever, and I just truly enjoyed it. And then El Camino coming out just added to that as well. And one thing, nugget is I own an El Camino.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Cool. I follow like the hashtag El Camino on Instagram, and all of a sudden you see the movie coming out, and I follow it just to see pictures of El Caminos. But obviously the show came out and it's taken over Instagram with the hashtag El Camino.
Yeah.
You guys are basically just doing the SNL skit to each other. Like, remember when you snapped that ball? That was awesome. Remember when you were in that movie? That was awesome. Pat, thanks for listening.
Oh, wait,
man.
Can I ask him a long snapper question?
My bad. You'll have a better question than he
who
did.
Who's your favorite backup to snap to?
Ooh, like the favorite punter?
Yeah.
Oh, man. See, Brad Maynard and Adam Podlis, they're going to get mad if I call out.
Okay,
no,
that's fine. No, but it's right in between.
Guys, they were outstanding. They made me a lot better than I was because they were so good.
Yeah, it was Brad Maynard. Let's be honest.
See you, Pat.
Awesome, man. All right, see you guys.
That's Pat Manley, pre and post, of course, right here on The Score with Pat Manley. Look at you.
That was cool.
Positively giddy.
Yeah, it was.
We'll put you in touch for beers later on. So what is the thing that people ask you about Breaking Bad the most? What is the thing that you hear the most?
Well, there's good questions and there's stupid questions.
I have those.
The biggest dumb one is, have you ever done meth? And it's like,
right.
No, I've never done meth.
Right.
Have you ever smoked meth? No.
Or snorted it?
Yeah, no.
So take us back, from the beginning. What was the audition process? Did you have to audition for? What was that like? How did you get involved?
Oh, boy, this was 2007, so we're talking, 12 years ago. I auditioned on tape in a casting office. these really great casting directors in L.A., Sharon and Sherry, love them. And they casted me off tape, and they told me I was flying to Albuquerque to shoot a show with the guy from Malcolm in the Middle, who is doing a show in the desert.
Did this sound like a clunker to you? Like when
on a network called AMC. And I was like, I need a job, man. I don't care. And I went, and it became a thing.
Oh, yeah, it did.
But it wasn't. Like, first 3 years, nobody watched it. Almost got canceled over and over and over. Because nobody watched the show.
Right.
Then it went on Netflix, and then it became this, like, supernova.
Your character had, like, an interesting, you know, arc on the show. You know, you were only in 12 episodes, I think, but you spanned the entire series. Like as an actor going through that? Like, you know, how far in advance do you know you're going to be in the season? You know, do you know what your fate is?
Well,
you know,
you're
there right until the very end.
We're getting into technical questions about the business, but when you're a series regular, you know you're going to be in most of the episodes, if not all. But if you're just a recurring guest star, you don't know until like maybe 2 weeks out. So you don't even know if you're going to be in the next season. Like Vince would be like, you know, we're going to keep bringing you back, but I didn't know if I'd be in 5 of the next season or just 1. So during that time, I was still doing commercials. I was writing to make a living. I didn't make any money to live off of doing Breaking Bad. People don't make money doing guest stars on television, by the way, guys. People don't know that. They think you're on television that you're rich.
Yeah.
My God, is that not true? but then once you're a series regular on a TV show, then you're rich.
Then you get rich. So I mean, it's a break for you, though, right? Because everybody sees your work, or is it not?
Oh, yeah, huge break. About the business, you just need to get legitimized into the room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You need to get drafted, you know. And then once you're drafted, then you can really play anywhere. But, yeah, once I got on that show, everybody knows who I am before I get into the room, which is great.
And you've done a lot of TV, a lot of movies, and you mentioned Vince Gilligan.
Yeah.
What's it like being on a Vince Gilligan set?
I don't know. He's so cool. He's like a really soft-spoken guy from Virginia. He's so weird. He like is really into comedy. Like he really likes like kind of cheesy comedy. Like he loved Mad TV.
Okay.
Like over SNL at the time. It was like,
he's old.
He's just a weird dude. I don't know. He has all these weird old references that go over my head. I don't know. He's really fun, a really nice, fun guy. I've been on sets for comedies that are depressing and you're like, you're miserable. And then that show, it was a really fun, funny set because Bryan Cranston is such a funny guy, such a jerk.
Give us an example of Cranston being a jerk on set.
He liked to make fun of me a lot because it's Brian and he makes fun of me because he's got this like weird like he's a jerky stepdad vibe, which I love. And he's a comedian, so we'd give each other crap. And one day we're doing this at craft service, and he's like, and they're like, Brian, you got to go back to set. And I'm like, okay. So he walks away, and I swear, a minute after, he was just making fun of me. He did that scene where he said, I'm the one that knocks. And I was like, and he like cried a little bit in the scene or whatever happened. And I was like, I can't do that. I can't do that at all. He's like a really good actor.
Yeah, that's actually, you know, one of my favorite scenes in the whole show is the final episode where you and Skinny Pete are the two best hitmen west of the Mississippi. It's one of the funniest lines on the show when, you know, he hands you guys the stack of cash and he asks you how you feel about it now. And you said, oh, improving. You know, with your improv background, like, was that line written as is, or was it kind of just...
Honestly, that whole show, I never improvised. I maybe had a couple lines here and there. The Star Trek monologue, I think, like, I had, like, a sentence or two that was improvised, but it was mainly all written. They had a script supervisor that would walk up to you and be like, you said yo, it's supposed to be yo-yo, wah, and you're like, oh, okay.
Wow.
So that's how written that show was. They were very good at it. This guy, Peter Gould, wrote a lot of the Badger and Skinny Pete dialogue, and he's the guy that is the showrunner for Better Call Saul.
Okay.
So
Matt Jones is in studio. He played Badger in Breaking Bad and El Camino. His movie Turkey Bowl has a limited theatrical release, including the Pickwick Theater. That's November 15th, but you'll also be able to watch it on demand. So El Camino comes out, but it came out as a surprise. Like, basically no one knew.
We had no idea.
You had no idea.
I got a call all of a sudden, and then they were like, Vince wants you to come to his office. And I didn't even know what it was about. And I was like, sure. And he's like, they want you to read a script. And I was like, oh, this is a Breaking Bad like sequel. And I sat and read the whole script. And he's like, do you want to do it? I was, of course, I'll do whatever you say. And then we shot it in like 2 months. And we stayed under pseudonyms in Albuquerque. I stayed under the name, it wasn't my choice, but Jean-Luc Picard. Skinny Pete stayed under the name Captain Kirk. We stayed, and they would like take us from the back of this hotel so no one knew we were in Albuquerque. We had like shrouds on when we were around driving in the car so people wouldn't see her. They tried to just keep the entire production a secret, and I can't believe, but they did. They really did. Nobody knew.
And so I remember reading that there's one script, right, for the secrecy. Like, you had to go read the script with Vince Gilligan. Like,
yeah,
he wouldn't mail it out to you or anything like that?
Was, yeah. It wasn't just one. I don't think there was physically one script.
Yeah.
That'd be insane. But, like, they did not mail scripts out. No.
But congratulations, by the way, because out of, you know, the characters that come back for the El Camino movie, you're one of the few that actually still looks like how you looked when the show ended.
Wow.
That's true.
You and Jonathan Banks, I think, pretty much nailed it. So I don't know if you did extra work to get back into that.
No, I had to dye my hair. I had gotten really gray, but now I'm doing that Just for Men, guys. It works.
Oh, it does? Yeah.
By the way, I would love to do a Just for Men commercial. Give me a call. I need some money.
Do you give Cranston any crap for the bald cap that he clearly had to wear?
Oh, no, I didn't get a chance to mess with him because I didn't shoot with him. I did see him at the premiere. He's like, I don't know, he's an Oscar nominated, like,
yeah.
He's on top of Mount Rushmore of like TV people now. Like, he's got his own stuff. I see those guys every now and then. It was weird. It was like going back to high school. And if I was like, yeah, like an offensive lineman in high school. Like, not that cool.
Sure.
But, like, you're on the team.
Is it daunting in a way? Like, it's just this thing that people, I mean, hopefully you have a 50-year career and make a ton of money and all that. But you will be, for a lot of people, always associated with this thing.
And, you know, that's tough sometimes. But then I think about it, and that's the way other people are for me as a fan myself.
Right.
Yeah, I get it. Like, Big Puss from The Sopranos is always going to be Big Puss. You know what I mean? Like, that's tough.
Yeah. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Where do you rank? I mean, Breaking Bad had one of the more favorable, I think, fan reactions to the way it ended.
Uh-huh.
How do you rank it in terms of, you know, I'm not sure if you're huge into watching TV when you're not, you know, working, but as far as the Breaking Bad ending, you know, included with the movie, if you'd like, but how do you rank that as far as great TV shows?
Yeah. It was really high up there. It was really high.
I think, like, so too.
Speaking of Sopranos, not a lot of people like the Sopranos ending. I really like the Sopranos
ending. I did too.
Game of Thrones was a horrifically bad ending. I think everybody will agree with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever watched 6 Feet Under. That was the best ending of all time. But I think the Breaking Bad one's really high up there. Yeah, for me.
So you mentioned you're making Turkey Bowl, and it's a it's a big dumb comedy, which we love, and you miss studio comedies. Why do you think it seems to be changing that those types of movies are not as viable or common anymore?
I mean, do you want to get real?
Yeah.
I think it's people are too politically correct, and people get offended too much by stuff. Like, you watch certain movies. What was I watching the other day? I can't remember what it was, but it was something where you're like, oh, they would never get away with making this now.
I mean, there's hundreds of examples of that.
You can't make that joke now, and it's really funny. And everybody's real afraid of pissing each other off nowadays. So comedies are getting harder and harder to make. I have a lot of friends that are stand-ups. I perform. By the way, I'm performing tonight in Chicago.
Oh nice. Where?
At Improv Olympic tonight at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 10 o'clock. and Sunday night at 8, I think. I don't remember.
But people can find you at Improv Olympic.
Yeah, Improv Olympic this weekend. I think people are afraid to piss each other off. And also people, their sense of humors are so specific nowadays. There's like really specific stuff you can watch. You know what I mean? Like, I think Step Brothers is one of the funniest movies ever. It's really funny. But some people really think that, I don't know. I'm trying to think of something.
Something that's not funny.
Yeah. But they think that's funny. So I don't know.
And, you know, you were in The Office, and you know, a lot of the office contingent around here, like, you know, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask.
Sure.
Do you think the character of Pam is a trash human? That's like like the way, you know, she did all the things she did, trapping Jim.
No, I thought they kept it pretty real. Greg Daniels, the guy that ran that show, he was really concerned about keeping the characters, like, you know, believable. Not everybody does everything perfect. I like when characters do questionable stuff. You know what I mean? I love that.
Sure. So you do stand up and you have the improv background. I was reading about Boom Chicago.
Yeah, right? Yeah, Amsterdam, yeah.
So I was reading an article with, I think it was Seth Meyers was talking
Seth
about
it.
Yeah, and it just, he said it was the perfect environment. Obviously, Chicago's known for it, second city and all that, but what's it like learning how to do improv in Amsterdam?
Well, all of us had learned how to improv before we were there. That's how we got the job.
Right.
But it was more of learning how to perform to like thousands of people at a time. I did 1,000 shows in 3 years in 20 countries. And like with people like Jordan Peele did it as well. People that were just, the people that they hired were all just so good. And a lot of them were Chicago improvisers that got the job. That's why the place was called Boom Chicago. I don't know. I just learned I'm not afraid of anything on stage ever. I don't get embarrassed. I've seen everything at this point. I've seen people puke on stage. I've seen people pretty much everything on stage. In Amsterdam, I've even seen people have sex on stage. So like,
okay.
I'm just not afraid of anything. Yeah.
How was that?
That was amazing. I almost died like 1,000 times. I was 22 to 25 while I was there. It was, I didn't go to college. That was my college, was Europe. Yeah.
And so do you take that into your stand-up? I can't imagine you're too afraid of bombing on stage.
I love when the audience doesn't like what we're doing.
Yeah?
I'm like, yeah. Go, leave then.
Sure.
What was the worst you ever bombed?
The worst I've ever bombed? Boy. One time I was at, we were doing a show at Boom Chicago's, 300 people in the audience, and they served drinks, a lot of drinks. And one night there was this table of drunken Scotsmen, just a bunch of Scottish guys. And they were so drunk and they would not shut up. So we played this game. We're like, everybody stand up. We had everybody stand up. We're like, this table sit down. This table sit down. We're like, you guys are the last table. We had them stand up. We're like, no, walk through that door. We just opened the side door and pushed them out on the street and shut the door. Then we started hearing banging and we thought they were trying to get back in. It was them all beating the crap out of each other.
So you incited a riot of some sort.
And the cops came. And then later after the show, they were all in our bar. Our bartender let them in. And then I got drunk with them all night and I made friends.
All part of the show, folks.
So I guess it wasn't a bad bomb. It was just like, that was what that experience was like.
Well, good. What are you doing at the Bears game on Sunday?
I'm going to weep for most of it. I'm going to scream, run the ball. I don't know what else.
You could coach.
I don't want to coach. This city tears you apart if you're the coach. I feel so bad for Matt Nagy. Like, yeah, this is a tough city to coach in. Boy. My fiance's coming. Oh, by the way, she is the romantic lead in the Turkey Bowl.
Oh.
She's right next to me over here. And we met on the movie, and now we're getting married in April. Yeah.
Kristen, wow. Right?
Yeah. Kristen Hager. Yeah. She's on Condor on Audience Network. She's on a very serious show about CIA spy agents and all that jazz.
So fell in love on set.
The Hollywood cliche. It was mainly because we were drinking the entire time we were there.
That's fine.
Yeah. We shot in the middle of Oklahoma. There's nothing else to do. Have you been to Oklahoma?
Yeah, once by accident.
Yikes.
Yeah, no, there's
no
not much.
No disrespect to Barry Switzer, who played the coach in the movie, but man, it's not great.
No.
It's not great.
Yeah, I saw Barry Switzer in the trailer, and, you know, one of our guys was coming up at the top of the hour. Wonder if you could find a role for him, possibly. Dave Wannstedt, who knows Coach Switzer very well.
Yeah,
that's
right.
For Wani opening up, maybe?
Switzer will let anybody do anything. If you know Switzer, he'll like let you walk up to his front door. It's insane.
Really?
Yeah, he lives literally across the street from the University of Oklahoma. Like, people just walk up. It's like, that's Coach's house. People, like, trick-or-treat there. Like, it's
just didn't want a long commute.
Yeah. He called ahead. We went to a restaurant and they're like, your meal's been paid for. And we're like, what? And like, coach called. And they don't even call him Switzer. It's just coach.
Of course.
Coach called and he took care of your meal. And I don't even think he paid for it. He just called and said, comp their meal.
Right. Of course. He eats for free everywhere.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Matt Jones, the movie is Turkey Bowl. You can see it at the Pickwick Theater on the 15th. Also available on demand. He'll be at the Bears game.
Yep.
Thanks for coming in, man.
Thank you so much. And thank you to Patrick Manley.
Yes, you got to meet Pat Manley over the phone. He's a good guy to have a beer with. Thank you. Thanks for coming in. That's Matt Jones. We got Dave Wannstedt at 4 o'clock. We'll bring Mac back in here. It's McNeil and Parkins on the score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
The best Friday in the history of Fridays.
That's what we're trying to have.
Fridays have a rich history, too.
Oh, there have been some great Fridays.
Oh, Fridays, my goodness. Friday draft!
Oh, no. The original Friday. Can't be Friday after next. This hour on The Score brought to you by CarX. Save up to $200 on four tires installed at CarX. Bottom of the hour brought to you by the Wolves. Want to ride a Zamboni on the ice during intermissions of a Wolves game? Sign up to take a spin on the new Turtle Wax Ice Box. Visit ChicagoWolves.com or call 1-800-THE-WOLVES to learn more. We are winners. We are the Wolves. I got to do one more here, Mac. This segment brought to you by AAMCO Total Transmission and Car Care. AAMCO offers easy payment options, including up to 12 months interest-free payments. Search AAMCO, that's AAMCO transmissions, and a whole lot more. Financing subject to third-party approval. See local dealer for details.
Station sounds damn good when you're on it. Thank you, Shane Reardon, for operating the board. Well, so Tanny can come over here and play for a little while. Great job, guys.
And thank you, Mac, for letting me do that.
My pleasure.
No, great job, Tanny, for getting Matt Jones. We're both obviously just huge Breaking Bad fans, and that was cool.
Real guy.
Yes.
Yeah, he seems like a real dude.
Yeah.
No pretentiousness. He didn't have an entourage with him.
Not at all. No, yeah, just someone from the PR for the movie and his wife and who's in the movie.
My
and
wife.
Just hanging out. So, or his fiance, I guess. But no, very, very cool.
Yeah, and you had Matt Jones. I had Wani.
Yeah, Wani's here early, of course.
It is customary for Coach Wanstead to arrive early. He believes in the Lombardi time rule. Always
yes.
Get somewhere at least 10 minutes earlier than you're supposed to. He comes bopping in the building with his earbuds in, digging on some 70s music. He's in a great mood, although he fell asleep during the football game last night.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, we won't ask him to go into great detail.
No, we don't need him to.
I tried greasing the wheels for Wani to get in the next motion picture because Coach Switzer is in the Turkey Bowl movie. I said, well, what about Wani? Get Wani a little role? He's in that Microsoft Surface commercial with the Fox crew I see every Sunday.
He's a natural actor, Dave wants that. Always has been. Yeah. Matt Jones didn't seem like he had pull to just get any football coach possible.
But come on, we're talking about Wani here.
we are talking about Wani. That's true. You know, I had something happen to me last night, Mac, that I wonder, you've been in this business for a long time. It never happened to me before. I've been doing this professionally for over 10 years. I was
third place in the Danny Parkins lookalike contest.
Screw you, Tanny. We were friends on this side. We've got our mandate tonight.
Yeah, you guys get a room.
Yeah, I'm very excited. But I was someone's surprise 40th birthday present last night because they are a big fan of The Score.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so this woman reached out to me and we met at a restaurant and I was just waiting at the front and she walked me over, took me by the arm and walked me over to meet her husband. And
he wanted you for his birthday.
And it was a surprise. He had no idea. So I'm going into this thing. I'm so nervous that he's not going to actually be a fan and be like, what the hell's Danny Parkins
what are you talking
doing?
About? I said the afternoon show on ESPN.
Right.
You're not Mark Silverman.
I'm a big Tom Waddle fan. Or I was worried, he's like, well, can you just tell me Mac stories the whole time or something?
What? That would really kill it.
Well, yeah, it would have been devastating.
Is his mansion really that big?
Yeah, exactly.
What's his helicopter like?
But they were lovely. It was great.
You sit down and have the meal with him or just a flyby?
Had the full meal. Man, I was there.
Nice.
I was there for an hour and a half.
Yeah, he would have known it was Mark Silverman if you would have eaten three quarters of the steak and then sent it back because it wasn't cooked properly.
Oh, is that a Sylvie move?
Yeah, he did that in New Orleans at the Super Bowl.
That's terrible.
Yeah, he lived to regret it though. We pounded him for 4 hours the next day.
Oh, and then probably never brought it up again.
So
I
how did it go? It was a nice time.
They could not have been cooler.
Nice.
It was great. It, being put in that really awkward situation, I actually felt like a decent amount of pressure. You know what I mean? Like you're trying.
Yes,
you gotta be entertaining, affable. I have no idea if this guy actually cares at all that I'm there. But no, they could not have been cooler. Offered to have me come over and try some of his bourbon from his bourbon collection. Don't know if that'll happen, but no.
Did you go big on the order?
Hit
her up for a little lobster, shellfish tower, maybe.
They picked a very nice spot. We had clams and scallops and pasta.
Shellfish tower, made available.
It was a lovely meal, but yeah, it's just a. It's an odd dynamic being the – I mean, yeah. 40th birthday. It's not 38 or 42. The 40th birthday, it's a big one.
He didn't invite you and her to go, like, somewhere else afterward for a little naughty time or anything like that? There was, no sexy time?
There was no nightcap. There were no sexual innuendos or anything like that. And no, they didn't pay me a dime. It was just something to do. And I'd never been asked to do something like that before. It was Have you ever been in that situation?
Not like that. When we were in our first or second year of operation here at the radio station, we were doing a fundraiser, and I think it was for Chicago Public Schools. I can't remember for sure, but one of the auction items was dinner with McNeil and Boers, and
nice.
Some guy bid $1,000 on that. It turned out he was an Illinois lottery winner, or he wouldn't be throwing that kind of money away.
Oh, wow.
To have dinner with the Heavy Fuel crew. He was a fan of the show, but he just wanted to participate, and we took him to the butcher shop, which Terry and I put out of business at 358 West Ontario years ago. But that was a very nice night, too.
That's great. Yeah, I was saying it felt a little bit like a blind date. But so, yeah, there you go. You've been auctioned off.
And sure, there's pressure. Yes, I can relate. Yes.
Legitimate right. pressure.
This guy dropped a G on our company. Let's not be duds.
I was just like, man, is this guy, like, he was hoping that his wife was going to surprise him with a trip or a new set of golf clubs. Or...
I got Danny Parkin.
Yeah.
Hey, you were watching that Bulls Hawks game the other night. That kid who looked like that the lookalike.
Yeah.
Jason Benetti was talking about.
Yeah.
Here he is.
Oh, okay.
I was worried he was going to Stacey King me. He literally said, he's like, are you joining us for dinner? Like, he was so confused when his wife took me up there.
But Did you take requests? Do the Raptors bit.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I rolled out all the old stories. I played the hits. I reset. I had energy. I just did what Mitch always tells me to do.
What was the question or questions he asked you where you had to put up your guard a little bit and
ooh.
Not give him everything?
Got the
any station gossip? Perhaps?
There was a little of that.
You put up your guard?
I assumed it was mostly off the record, so I said some things that you maybe wouldn't say 100% into the microphone. Got the
100% right. You just give him a little piece
of it. Yeah, got a text as I'm in the car going home from his wife, who was the one who had my number, who set the thing up. He forgot to ask you. Is Les Grobstein his real name? And I was like, yeah. You think it's a stage name?
Go to hell. Get out of here. We don't need you here.
Is that what he's really like?
I've never thought about it, but that does sound a little Ron Burgundy-ian.
Yeah, but it was interesting. I mean, this guy was really smart. They were really successful. She went to Harvard. He went to Princeton. And he just had an infatuation with sports talk radio, the prep process, how many games. What do you do if it's a West Coast game and you don't want to stay up late and watch it? I'm like, hey, DVR, watch the replay, yeah. Read about it.
Sure.
Yeah, so, you know, little tricks of the trade.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just
very cool. And if anybody else would like you down the road, what's your going rate for one of these functions?
This was a favor for my mom. So
the meal and what, a nickel?
Yes, which Mac
pay for your first month of fantasy football next year in our league when we kick it up to 2K?
Yeah, that's probably right. $250 an hour plus the meal, something in that
that's
vicinity.
Fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're worth it.
I like to think so. I perform. I put my best foot forward. And I need it to cover my Who Do You Love losses. I think I'm still in first place, but I am very much under 500. We got Who Do You Love before Dave Wanstead in studio coming up on a Bears Friday on the Score. Bears Friday brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin'. Who do you love next on the Score?
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
George Thorogood, who I have met. George Thorogood, really, really, really neat guy. No doubt about that.
Who do you love?
I love the Patriots minus a field goal.
No, you're wrong, schoolboy.
I'll lay the five and love it with the Seahawks.
Kushingo! I made money on it.
And then I love the Eagles minus 4.5.
Kapowza! I made money on that too.
Playing the role of Shep today, Dave wants that.
So I picked the winner. I got the teams right here. What do you think?
Those are the picks that he likes. Those are the picks that he loves.
Okay, here we go. Florida plus 6. Versus Georgia, Shep likes the Gators. with the 6 points, okay?
No.
Okay, I kind of disagree with this pick, but I'm going to tell you what Shep's doing. Shep likes Washington and 3.
Wrong. Wrong.
And then the last one right here, Virginia Tech is getting 17 versus the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. He likes Virginia Tech and the 17 points.
I like Nick's picks. Bucks, Seahawks, 53. I love the under.
You're incorrect.
Minus the 4.5. I love Philly.
Yeah! Hell yeah!
And Cleveland's just a lousy football team. Getting 4.5, I love Denver.
You're right.
Yeah, who do you love?
Who do you love? Brought to you by the new Ameristar Sportsbook in East Chicago.
We give you our best 3 plays against the point spread each and every Friday afternoon right around this time on the McNeil and Parkins Show on the Score Sports Radio 670. Parkins last week with the 2-1 mark. He's the leader of the pack with a not-so-stout season mark of 12-14-1. Oh, soon to be daddy.
Who do you love?
Mackie, I'm trying to go 3-0 this week because you got it. These strollers are expensive. Here we go. I think the Packers against the Chargers, the LA Chargers, was a fluke, and I think Carolina is overrated. Aaron Rodgers at home, the best home record of any quarterback in the last 10 years. Aaron Jones will be able to run the football. I love the Packers to win by more in a touchdown. They're only laying 5. I love the Packers minus the 5. We saw what happens when the Rams play in the cold on the road. The Steelers, one of those teams that is talking themselves into wild card contention in the AFC. Their defense rounding into form. The Rams' offense seems broken. That's a bad recipe for Jared Goff to put up points. I think Minkah Fitzpatrick gets another interception, and Jared Goff turns it over a couple of times. I think the wrong team is favored in this one. I think it should be a pick 'em, but the Steelers are a 3.5-point home dog. I love the Steelers. Also, speaking of a team that is on the wrong side of being favored, I think Cleveland is broken and there's no fixing it, and they'll be firing Freddie Kitchens before the end of the year. I'm sure they'll throw the ball to Odell Beckham more because, you know, he's maybe the best receiver in the NFL. But Buffalo, also an AFC wildcard contender, they have something to play for. Cleveland doesn't. They'll be able to run the ball on the Browns. I love the Bills plus the 3.
Oh, below.
We go by Bovada on these, I'll let you know that it works out better for you, Parkins, on one of these. The Steelers are getting 4,
oh,
I believe.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, so change that one from 3.5 to 4. And the Bills are plus 2.5, not plus 3.
I have
3.
Old
Those
lines
have
in
just
front of
moved.
Me.
That's all
that's,
right.
That's my fault.
I got
that's,
Bovada in front of me. That, no worries.
I have old my bad.
Shep last week, 1-2. Dave Wanstead did a fantastic job, and we didn't even write down the vernacular. I saw the sheet he was looking at, and it says Virginia Tech plus 17, and I wasn't sure how Wani was going to present that, but he got it.
Yeah, he got
Virginia
there.
Virginia Tech's getting 7. Oh, good. He gets it. So anyway, Shep 1-2 last week. He and I share the cellar, trying to avoid an overnight shift with Grobber at 11-6. 16, Sheppy.
We start with something I hate doing as much as anyone. This goes back 10 years when I first started with you, Mac, on Who Do You Love? Picking a Lovie Smith team. I hate myself for doing it, but because Michigan State's offense is anemic, Illinois has been playing solid football for the last 3 weeks now. 14.5 up in East Lansing. Way too many points. I love Lovie. Give me the Illini. Kansas State getting 7 points at Texas. Is there a more overvalued team in college betting than the Texas Longhorns? Everyone wants to ask, is Texas back? Is Texas back? No, they're not. They're not back. And being a 7-point favorite is way too much against Kansas State, who's 6-2 against the spread themselves this year. I love the Wildcats. They're getting 7. And the game of the year, maybe regular season-wise in college football, at least the most hyped one that there is. LSU goes on the road to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama. They're not going to be able to stop Alabama through the air. They're especially not going to be able to stop Alabama in the run game. I know it's not Nick Saban's deepest or best team, but it's still a significantly better team than that of LSU. I love the Tide laying 6.
Roll damn Tide.
Who do you love?
Hey, Mackie, I know that $500 doesn't mean anything to you for fantasy football, so we got to make some money and some action and some interest at the window. I got one question for you.
Who do you love?
Let me go to Cleveland to get us started. Freddie Kitchens, indeed, one of a couple coaches on the hot seat. Not worked out the way it was supposed to for Baker Mayfield, who shaved this week. Kareem Hunt is coming back for the Browns, but the best running back on the field Sunday will be Devin Singletary. And when he needs to catch his breath, Hall of Fame-bound Frank Gore is right there for you. Getting points? Are you kidding me? I love the Bills Sunday. Kansas City is a six-point favorite as Patrick Mahomes returns to work for the Chiefs. They're on the road, a six-point favorite against the Titans. I'm going with the road favorite here, minus just six. I love the Chiefs. And, man, I watched Tampa the last couple times out, and they don't defend anybody. And the Arizona Cardinals, Patrick Peterson's got a huge reputation as well, but he has been burnt a lot this year. So I'm taking the highest total on the board in Week 10, 52.5 for Arizona and Tampa, and I love the over.
Yeah, who do you love?
Who do you love? Brought to you by the new Ameristar Sportsbook in East Chicago. We've got Bulls tickets to give away between now and 6 o'clock as well. Eddie Jackson at 5, but Dave Wannstedt is in studio to talk Bears and tell stories. Wanny time next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.